Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to the program. Today's theme is UFOs and NASA. I'm going to begin by reading an article by Benjamin Krems Master, followed by an article from the June issue of Share International magazine. Firstly, this article by the Master titled The Path to the Sun. It is often to be observed that people do not always believe the evidence of their own eyes, hence the rejection of many experiences which would have been valuable to them as they search for meaning and purpose in their lives. It is common, for example, that many disbelieve that they have seen a UFO, as they are generally known, when all evidence shows otherwise. People are loath to embrace the new and unknown, however much to do so it might be to their benefit. In this way, they inhibit their awareness and growth. For many years now, the craft emerging from our sister planets have roamed our skies, done immeasurable service on our behalf, and, from time to time, given ample and inspiring evidence of their reality and presence. In ones and twos and untold numbers, they have worked selflessly to mitigate, within the karmic law, the harmful results of our foolishness and ignorance. Many on Earth have seen them, have stood in awe and wonder at their obvious mastery of space, and, fearful of ridicule, kept silence. Thus, the knowledge of their reality and the grateful understanding of their purpose has been lost to men. Why should this be so? Why should men reject that which is most to their betterment to accept and understand? There are several reasons why men behave so unreasonably in this way. Chief among them is fear. The great numbing fear of possible destruction lies deep within the human psyche, ready to rise and condition all reactions, all spontaneous gestures of hope and wonder. It has, alas, always been so for many. The governments and the media of most countries have failed in their duty to educate and enlighten the masses. Much is known by many governmental agencies and withheld from the public. Above all, the harmlessness of the UFO, even when known, is never affirmed. On the contrary, everything concerning them, while wrapped in vague mystery, is presented as threat. People in positions of power and control know that if their people knew the true nature of the UFO phenomenon and understood them to be envoys from civilizations far ahead of ours, they would no longer accept, passive and mute, the conditions of life on Earth. They would demand that their leaders invite these aerial guests to land openly and to teach us how to live and achieve in the same fashion. The time is not far off when this will be the case. The time is coming when the true nature of life on planets other than Earth will be common knowledge, when men will begin to think of the solar system as an interrelated whole, the planets at various points in evolution but all working together to fulfill the plan of the solar logos and to help and sustain each other on the way. That was published in the magazine in May 2004. And now for this article from the June issue. It's titled The Other Side of NASA's Space Program. And it's by a man by the name of Doug Griffin. Unfortunately, I don't have his background information at hand. But anyway, he's reviewing a book by Anita Mitchell. So I'll read the article. A new book by Anita Mitchell, ex-wife of Apollo 14 astronaut Edgar Mitchell, has reinvigorated the UFO disclosure issues, so recently given new impetus by Dr. Stephen Greer, who, at the start of the year, submitted UFO/UAP disclosure executive orders to the Trump administration. In the book, You Don't Look Like an Astronaut's Wife, she recounts many unusual experiences her husband and other NASA astronauts had while involved in their space programs and as jet aircraft pilots. Dr. Edgar Mitchell was part of the Apollo 14 mission that took off from Cape Kennedy on the 3rd of January 1971 and was the sixth man to walk on the moon. He was also a highly experienced US Navy pilot with a doctorate in aeronautics and astronautics from MIT, which stands for the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. In 1966, he joined the NASA Astronaut Corps, and in 1970, he worked at the Johnson Space Center in Houston during the infamous Apollo 13 mission. An onboard explosion involving an oxygen tank occurred on that flight, which meant the spacecraft was nearly lost on its approach to the moon. Mitchell helped to devise procedures which enabled the crippled craft to return to Earth, for which he received the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Anita Mitchell reveals some of the secrets her astronaut husband shared with her before his death in 2016. Quote, he always felt there were UFOs out there because so many NASA pilots and astronauts have seen something, unquote. According to the author, during America's early space program, several of her husband's crewmates, including fellow Apollo astronaut James McDivitt, saw strange craft. She also mentions Project Mercury astronaut Leroy Gordon Cooper Jr. Quote, at a dinner in our home, Gordy told us that he had seen something. Unquote. Cooper Gordy told the Mitchells, quote, listen, we have nothing that goes that fast and goes that high. He had clocked up thousands of hours in jet aircraft and was among the first pilots to participate in the space agency's Mercury and Gemini projects. Despite his extensive experience, she recalls Cooper acknowledging that pilots like himself simply could not catch these extraordinary craft when they attempted to chase them. Having heard so many first-hand accounts, she also shares her husband's view of the UFO phenomena, saying, do you really think we are the only intelligence in the universe? Because if we are, the universe is in trouble. In 1973, shortly after retiring from NASA, Dr. Mitchell founded the Institute of Noetic Sciences, which sought to reconcile the world of conventional science with metaphysics, researching, for example, psychic and paranormal phenomena such as ESP, standing for extrasensory perception, telepathy, meditation, and alternative healing. He spent much of his life exploring these esoteric realms of science and, of course, the existence of extraterrestrial beings. In 2009, he publicly urged the US government to release classified information about the reality of UFOs. At the time, he told the Guardian newspaper, "We are being visited. It is now time to put away this embargo of truth about the alien presence. I call upon our government to open up and become a part of this planetary community that is now trying to take our proper role as a space-faring civilization." This brings the whole story, recollected here by the author, back to how it all started. In the mid-1990s, Dr. Greer introduced Dr. Mitchell to the UFO project. The Apollo astronaut attended many of Greer's early conferences, and they jointly organized high-level briefings at the Pentagon. In October of 1997, at what was called the Prophets Conference, Mitchell made a statement following a presentation given by Greer regarding technology and efforts to brief government officials on the UFO phenomena. Being the sixth man on the moon, Associated Press picked up the story and published his statement, giving it national and international recognition. He said, "I'd like to add to what Stephen Greer had to say. It was a marvellous report, but what I'd like to add to it is that in our briefing of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Intelligence Group, it became very clear to us that they were naive. They did not really know any more about this effort than we do. For me, with all the evidence, it's not a matter of believing. It's a matter of the preponderance of evidence, and the evidence keeps building. The sightings keep happening. With regard to the technology itself, I work with folks who do know what is in our technological database and what is available to modern armies. The so-called ET technology, the ability to have silent engines and flying machines that make no sound, flying machines that have the characteristics that are consistent with reproduction of UFO sightings, are not in any nation's arsenal, but they do exist. So, if there are back-engineered technologies existing, they are probably in the hands of this group of individuals, formerly government, formerly perhaps intelligence, under private sector control with some sort of oversight by military or by government. But this oversight is likely no longer the case as a result of this access denied category that is now operating. I call it a clandestine group. The technology is not in our military arsenals anywhere in the world, but it does exist. And to me, that's quite disconcerting. Both Mitchell and Greer showed great determination in exposing this clandestine operation, despite the equally covert campaigns to ridicule them and obfuscate the information. To that end, they collaborated for many years with high-level government and military intelligence figures who would be open to the possibility of a classified UFO program existing. For example, WikiLeaks documents released in 2016 revealed that there had been email interactions during Obama's presidency between the Council for President Obama, John Podesta, and Mitchell regarding the existence of UFOs and extraterrestrials. Greer had also given Podesta, via an intermediary, a comprehensive briefing on the UFO/New Energy project, which was to be relayed to President Obama. It is well known that John Podesta himself has been a lifelong advocate for government disclosure of UFO files. Furthermore, in the mid to late 1990s, before Obama, Greer was regularly briefing senior officials in the Clinton administration regarding the UFO cover-up. It seems timely that the book You Don't Look Like an Astronaut's Wife should be published now in 2025 on the back of Greer's recent push for disclosure and his expectation, along with others in the field, that this could be the year it happens. We shall have to watch the space, so to speak. Especially considering that, as can be seen from the book and other information, There have already been many false dawns in this extraterrestrial story. Characters like Mitchell and Greer, though, appear undeterred by the highs and lows of the ongoing battle for disclosure. The long-term objective is what they have been singularly focused on. The truth of UFOs, of a secret program involving the reverse engineering of UFO technology, of free energy, and, as Mitchell put it, as a result of acknowledging this truth, for Earth to become a part of this planetary community. Anita Mitchell describes how unifying early space exploration was. It transcended geographical, cultural, and political boundaries, if only for a brief, awe-inspiring moment. And a quote from her, "It pulled the world together in a way nothing else ever has. They sent back that incredible picture taken from the moon of Earth. We all saw our planet in a new way. No matter who you were, when you saw that tiny blue and white marble, knowing it was our home, it was humbling and it united us." She continued, "Today, it almost feels like the Apollo days again, only bigger. It's an exciting time to be alive and to witness it all." This new exciting time of space exploration and our own planet's future, it would appear, will not be defined and constrained by an obsolete 20th century technology long past its expiry date. If the disclosure movement is correct in its assessments based on an overwhelming body of evidence, then space exploration will be superseded and driven by an altogether different form of ET technology, one that, at present, lies hidden behind an open secret, only accessible to a very select few, though becoming increasingly visible to the many. I'd like to finish with an excerpt from the book by Benjamin Creme, The Gathering of the Forces of Light, UFOs and Their Spiritual Mission. The Space Brothers are here to help. With their help, the forces of evil will be destroyed, the forces that prevent people everywhere from living together in peace with justice and right relationship. Right relationship is the next destined step forward for humanity. And with the help of the Space Brothers and the emergence of our own spiritual hierarchy of masters, that will quickly come to be. The Space Brothers are giving of their knowledge of the science of light, the new science that will give us unlimited energy for every need. They have that science and will put it at our disposal as soon as we renounce war forever, showing that we are able to live together in peace with justice, sharing and right relationship. Then we will know that they are our brothers indeed. The book, The Gathering of the Forces of Light, is available through our groups at cost price rather than retail. You're very welcome to contact us if you would be interested in a copy. The email address is sharenz@yahoo.com. Otherwise, you can find out further information on the Share International website, share-international.org. Meanwhile, I'll just read out a little excerpt from the description. Benjamin Creme sees the presence of UFOs as planned and of immense value for the people of Earth. According to Mr. Creme, the UFOs and the people in them are engaged on a spiritual mission to ease humanity's lot and to save this planet from further and faster destruction. Topics covered in the book include the Space Brothers' work on Earth, crop circles, the new technology of light, and the dangers of nuclear radiation. Thank you for listening and wishing you all a lovely week.